You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore. Senses not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number two, and you are indeed listening to the Common Sense Show, and we come to you live every Sunday evening from 8 p.m. Eastern to 11 p.m., and that is our new time. And we are experiencing record growth, and we think that our switch in time slot has had an awful lot to do with that. I want to send out some well wishes to a friend of the show, Josh Coy, who's on WYDE-FM, largest FM station in Alabama. He's been in and out of the hospital with health concerns. We'd ask that you'd keep Josh in your prayers. He's a needed talent on the air, and we need to get him back and restored to health. And we're going to try to get Nurse Katie over to him here as soon as possible. Well, our guest for the balance of this hour is John B. Wells. And John is the host and purveyor of Caravan to Midnight, former host of Coast to Coast AM. And John has a great show, one of our trusted partners, a show that we highly recommend. And for only $5 a month, you can get a subscription. I think it's an absolutely phenomenal price. It's commercial-free radio. Now, we're pretty much commercial-free. We're not 100% commercial-free, because we do have some bills to pay, and I don't know how many people would buy our subscription. Katie, that's a discussion that we'll have for another time. Anyway, John, let's go back to the ways of the world, and I feel like we're kind of watching the show A Thousand Ways to Die, because there's so many ways that this country could be brought down. And so my question to you on that point is, besides the TPP and Jade Helm going live and the economic collapse, what else is on your radar in terms of what we need to be worried about?
Well, Fukushima is killing the ocean. That has continued unabated now since March 11th, 2011. And we still have a lot of nuclear power plants here that are operating. One of them up in, I think it was in Portland, Missouri, was shut down because they had radiation levels above normal in their containment building, but nothing got out. There was no there was a steam plume in the reactor building, but none of it escaped, at least not according to reports coming out of there. And there haven't been any more since July 23rd. But what's happening along the West Coast is pretty rough. It's strange things are happening to the plants and animals in Japan. There's been they haven't harvested any sardines. There are out there. This Australian guy was talking about fishing, taking the same course that he always did, and going to the same place that he always did. And there were, like, he caught two fish the whole thing. He said that if they hadn't, his name's Ivan McFadden, and he was talking on May 24th. On Talk Radio Europe, and he said the reality was, if I'd had no spare dry food on the boat, relying on fish this time around, we would have starved to death, because quite literally there isn't any fish. There's vast tracts where they're all just gone, where you could find fish reliably. They're just not there. He used to fish on the same course, exactly the same time of year, same ocean, same place, could catch fish every day, and for some reason now, 10 years later, they're all gone, all gone. And they're catching dolphins with white lungs from radiation, and it's a disaster. There's been a massive die-off of stuff along the Pacific coast, and nobody's reporting it. One that did manage to get out was that the government's going to begin monitoring. It's like, oh, really? Well, the government probably should have been monitoring for a while, but they're just now getting to it. And, you know, radiation takes a long time to affect people, but if you look at the statistics, there are a lot of illnesses in the the Pacific Northwest and all the way down to California that make you wonder if maybe it isn't caused from that ridiculous meltdown over there. I mean, that, I don't know, outside of a miracle, it almost looks like that country's done in the long term, because it is a ghastly, ghastly mess. It's literally poisoning the ocean. The radioactive spill in the Pacific has just continued unabated, and people say, oh, it all gathers together, you know, in a plume. Not really. I mean, they can't even get their story straight on what the behavior of the contaminated liquid. They can't get their story straight. Half of them say, I'm saying half, but some of them say, oh no, it all concentrates in one big glob, and others say, no, it doesn't. It disperses out everywhere just like anything else. Just if you were to pour a can of soda pop into the ocean, it's not going to stay all together. What are you, crazy? So, you know, when the experts are baffled, Dave, they're really not experts. And since we've never faced anything like this before, how can anybody be an expert on it? They can't. They're just guessing.
Well, what they've done is they've hidden the trash under the bed, so to speak, because I recall very quickly the first thing they did was raise the tolerance levels that humans are supposed to have towards radiation, and they raised those levels about 1,000 times. And then when that didn't allay the fears, what happened next? They just stopped measuring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hear no evil, see no evil, John.
Yeah, and Japan has raised the limit on what's safe, with quotes around it, for the fish that they that can be bought and consumed on a commercial basis. It's really sad. I just see, as we said at the beginning of the program, I just see so many things coming at the same time. If it's not, you know, oh, ISIS is swarming across the border. Oh, this is the highest potential threat since 9/11. You know, that comes out of one of the government services. And, oh, you know, we need to get rid of all the Confederate flags and everything else because, you know, we're still agonized over slavery. And you know, most of the black folk out there, they look at these people that are going crazy and want to dig up Confederate generals' graves and pull down the stars and bars, and they're just looking at them like, you're just a bunch of rabble and idiots, you know, and they are, because what is wrong with looking at the Confederate flag in a different way, the way that it should be looked at it, which is, this country fought a terrible, terrible war, brother against brother, friend against friend, neighbor against neighbor. And not for the reasons that you think, but on the other side of this most bloody war, we came together again and built a great nation. And we want to keep this thing flying to remind everybody that things can happen that divide a nation. As long as we see this thing flying, we'll know that must not happen again, and that the people who fought on either side of that believed in what they were doing. And we should not rewrite history by teaching our children that the Civil War was fought over slavery, because it wasn't. In fact, most people don't know, but the first slaveholder in America was actually a black man who sued to retain ownership of his slave. You know, people would have you think that Caucasians, you know, were running through the jungles of Africa. You know, try that on, in khaki shorts and shirts with pith helmets, throwing nets over black guys and dragging them, kicking and screaming back to the slave ships, and it's just not true. It's not true. They were brokered to anybody who bought them by the Arabs, and they were delivered by, guess what, other black people, primarily the Nigerians. So that's just how it is. And if you don't believe me, you can look it up, because that's how it is. Abraham Lincoln himself said, if I could save this Union and free the slaves, I would. If I could save this Union and free no slaves, I would. They didn't even play that card until very late in the war. So, you know, people are beginning to write history now as they see fit. And there are a lot of people out there that want to hold on to these resentments. And actually, why shouldn't they? The flip side to this coin I'm talking about is, why shouldn't they hold on to their resentments? Because nothing has really been done to help so many of them. And you can't blame them. I was watching a story last night about this kid. He's a musician now, getting into band practice at his school. Is a real treasure to him, and he's good at it. Well, he's walking home, and he gets robbed at gunpoint of his school bag and whatever little cash he had on him, $2-3, something like that. And guess who robbed him? Other black guys. So where you got crime, if you got crime in a white neighborhood, you got white on white crime. You got crime in a black neighborhood, you got black on black crime. You got a nice neighborhood situated next to an abominable neighborhood, and you're going to have some black on white crime. It's just how it is. I mean, when people reach a certain, and I'm not justifying this because I think stuff like the knockout game should be responded to with, you know, boom, boom, boom. That's how I feel, because that's a life-threatening thing. When you just hit somebody as hard as you can, thinking I'm just going to knock them out, and actually what you've done is given them a cerebral hemorrhage, and you're killing them, or you've given them brain damage, or you just they hit their heads against something and they die. Well, that's a lethal assault, and it should be met with lethal force. But when you grow up in an environment where that kind of violent behavior is normal for you, well, of course you're going to act like that. So I go back again to the government. Oh, the government that controls everything. Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you control some of the money that you collect from the citizens, that you spend on all kinds of things that we don't think you should spend it on? And why don't you try and do something for these people? Stop rewriting history and making it look like it's skin color that's responsible for all these ills. It's not white skin that's responsible for the plight of millions of black people. It's the government, and the government is made up of many different colored people, okay, including this one. What has Obama done for his people? Oh, well, I'm only half black. Oh, I see. So you're perpetuating the racist myth by the white half of you is doing nothing for your people? Oh, I see. Well, that'll be next. Because everybody's trying to find a scapegoat and an excuse, and they should just drop it. People are people. And as I like to say, and I'm sure you'll agree, and as the venerated Carl Lamb up in North Carolina says, everybody's equal at the foot of the cross. So maybe what we need is just a massive revival instead of a massive revolution. That would be very nice. But that won't make the headlines. What'll make the headlines is the new Satan statue going up in Detroit. What a perfect place for it.
Well, I think I'd be leaving Detroit right now. You know, I think we've kind of touched on this, but I've had a couple of listeners who want me to ask you about your feelings on secession. And I think you're in a state that could be at the center of that. What's your opinion on that?
I think we should immediately. Let's do it today. Still got a little bit of daylight here. I think that'd be just fine. You know, Texas opened a gold bullion bank where people can store their gold, and it's outside the purview of the Federal Reserve, which would be a real good thing. So, do I think that's going to happen? No. Do I think it's fanciful? Yes. Do I think it's a good idea? Maybe. Maybe so. A lot of people have, was it Northern Colorado? Yeah, it was Northern Colorado. They wanted to break off into a separate little state because they said, this government down here, our state government, does not represent our interests, and we don't like this, and we just as soon secede. Now, there's going to be a lot of pushback against such a thing, but...
Well, you see that in Northern California, too, the state of Jefferson. They have their own flag. I've written an article about this. It's in Congressman Doug LaMalfa, who, by the way, if you're listening from Northern California, he voted to ban GMO labeling. Just thought I'd let you ought to know that. But, John, the feeling of secession is sweeping the country among the awake. Problem is, you probably don't have more than 5 to 6% of the people even seriously thinking about this.
Well, these movements take a long time to get rolling, if they ever do. And isn't that amazing that Congress overwhelmingly approved a measure that banned states from requiring labels to the effect that this product contains genetically modified organisms? I mean, this government is in the pockets of the big corporations. That has been said many times and been repeated over and over again. But I don't think people necessarily know what it really means. It means that these people are above the law now. They routinely violate the Constitution. They seize things illegally. You know, they do things like the FBI puts out a report. This is over a year old, but remember the one about if you buy coffee at the same place every day and you use cash, you could wind up on a terror watch list. You know, it's like to heck with a bunch of terror watch lists. You know, what is all this terrorism nonsense when you've got an open border and you've got a so-called president that put that through his PR campaign tells people all over the Central American sector on down into South America that if you come up here, you can stay, no problem. Well, what is this blanket amnesty thing? What is this guy trying to do? But that's a separate deal. Why would you concentrate on terrorism and leave your borders completely open? I mean, duh. It makes no sense. I can't believe. You know, to me, the most telling thing about that whole 9/11 attack and the big run up to the first war in Iraq and then in Iraq and Afghanistan simultaneously was, wouldn't you think that if your country was under attack by terrorists, that the first thing you would do would be to tighten the border? Wouldn't you think the first thing you would do if there's an Ebola outbreak is stop the flights coming in countries that have been stricken by Ebola? But, oh, no, bring them all in. Well, they didn't get much mileage out of the Ebola breakout, did they? They wanted it. 250,000 hazmat suits got shipped just to Dallas, but nothing happened. At least not yet.
But well, I think that's the key. Not yet. I was friends with a guy, and I'd been friends with him for years and years, knew the family well. FEMA retired. 2012, they show up at my place of work, and they announce to me that by the end of the year, they'll be living in a remote location with other like-minded alphabet soup people. And I said, so what's our big threat? And the guy looked at me, and his job was counter-bioterrorism. And he said, We're going to get hit by agents. And he said, we have stuff that the rest of the world doesn't even know we have. And by that, he meant bioagents, chemical agents. And he's convinced that that's the way that they're going to bring in the New World Order, is they're going to do it, is their final game plan, is to basically kill us off with biological and chemical weapons.
Well, my question would be, and you know this, how?
He worked in that work.
Yeah. Well,
John, I used to be a Maricopa County first responder, and I did because they go, your family will get the drugs first. Okay. And then they brought in FEMA, and we had a transition period, and that's when I met him. And we kind of hit it off and did some things socially. This guy wasn't given, he never talked to me much about his job until he showed up and said, you know, where you live isn't too bad. He said he thinks there's going to be releases in the cities. This guy is meant to be taken seriously.
Well, I'm certainly not going to say that something like that couldn't happen. There have been horrible atrocities perpetrated on huge swaths of population over the years, including, you know, for example, when not just the extermination of the death camps back in the old days, back in Nazi Germany, but also how about when we decided to firebomb Japanese cities? How about when we firebombed Dresden, creating a core of fire so hot that winds 300 miles an hour were blowing toward that core fire to feed it oxygen that it needed because it was so huge and so intense. It was dragging, you know, cats and dogs and cows and houses and cars and everything into it. So these horrible things have been visited upon, you know, people for, well, I suppose centuries, but certainly the 20th century. A-bomb goes off. Let's drop another one. Another A-bomb goes off after the firebombing. I mean, these humans are a wacky bunch. They seem to take a lot of pleasure in killing each other. But I always have to measure these declarations that of what they are going to do to us. When I recall that, remember the naval officer that was just convinced that everything was going to fall apart when it rolled over to the year 2000? Nothing happened. I had DX50 computer reset the date to like 1901 or 1905 or something, I think it was, and I just reset the date, and operation didn't skip a beat, so nothing happened. And look at all the money that was made by making people Y2K compliant. There wasn't anything to make compliant. Just have your crew, have your techies down there, and reset the clock at midnight. That's all. I mean, reset the date. The clock will be fine. My son was quite young in those days, and. And he said, Dad, he goes, they're telling us that the world's going to come to an end because somebody forgot to set the clock. He says, what does he think I am, an imbecile? I said, well, you're right, son. Nothing's going to happen. And so I don't know if we're going to get whacked out by biological warfare or Nibiru or, you know, there are photographs going around the web now, so it looks like somebody's gun safe coming down from the heavens, you know, in a big cloud of smoke. It looks completely fake to me, but maybe it isn't. Who knows?
Well, we're having Bob Fletcher on the 16th, and he's really devoted a lot of his resources to investigating what we call Planet X. I'm not sure what to think on this. I think we need more hard data. Maybe Bob will bring that to us. But yeah. In terms of just the here and now, though, what we can get our hands on for proof, I think there's no question. How much do you think that the racial strife in this country that the Department of Justice is fermenting, how much do you think that's going to come into play in terms of fragmenting this country and helping to speed along the split that will lead to a civil war?
Well, it seems like just about the time that... that things start to calm down, there's another shooting. They seem to just revel in that stuff, and I think there are going to be operations like that that'll go on. Look, none of this is easy to predict. I mean, you referenced Art Bell a while ago. Everybody likes art. I like art. But do you remember the guy that called from Area 51? And he was talking about all the spooky stuff that was going on, and, oh, you know, the soldiers or somebody showing up, and he's got to go and click. He was never heard from again. Well, I'm not just going to go. Oh, the guy was definitely at Area 51. He definitely saw a flying saucer. The security forces showed up and took him away, and probably the aliens did experiments on it. It could have been just some hoaxer that called up and made the whole bloody thing up. So... you know, just because these events occur or somebody says something does not mean that I'm going to get pulled into that. I'll look at it, and I'll tell somebody on the crew to just keep an eye on this. If anything, you know, look at it and see if there's anything there. If you don't see anything else, that'll mean one of two things, either real or it isn't. Just keep on the back burner, check on it every while, but if you don't hear anything more about it, look for connections to it or similar things that have happened and see if you can put two and two together, see if you come up with anything. But other than that, let's move on to what we do know. If you were to take, and I don't even like talking about this stuff really, Dave, but let's go to the Charleston shooting for just a second. Does anybody really buy this? That some kid, some 21-year-old who dropped out in the ninth grade is a story that I've gotten about it, and probably everybody else has too. This guy is not waving the Dixie flag around.
Yeah, John, I'm sorry. I got to hold that story right there. Let's hang on to that, and let's start with that when we come out of the break. We'll be back with John B. Wells as we analyze the Charleston story, and I didn't buy it either. Stay tuned. We'll see you back here in a couple minutes. Again, I want to remind you about your opportunity with Renaissance Precious Metals, and they're critical to maintaining the value of your wealth. You know, we could get into fractional reserve banking, the usury fees, all the things that drive down the value of your dollar. Well, if you're precious metals, over the long run, history has shown that your money will maintain itself. But with what we think is coming, it's best to be out of cash as much as possible. And remember, if you can't touch it, you don't own it. Find out more about this. Call my friend Steve Quayle tomorrow at 406-586-4842. That's 406-586-4842. And this is also the time of the show when I usually talk about Katie Whelan and what she's got going on when she sells, I'm not supposed to say, what was it, Katie, I'm not supposed to say? Essential oils?
Oh, yeah.
I can't say the word healing. I can't say the word cure. We're going to get all that in the health segment. And they have really put Katie in a straitjacket. And I'm talking about the FDA. And we're going to get into that big time. And the reaction we got when we first aired this last week was phenomenal. And we've got more information on how they're trying to limit your rights. So we are going to hit this hard in the health segment. But Katie, real quickly before we return to John, people want to know more about how to get healthy. And this is Dave Hodges saying it, not Katie. People want to know more about how to have optimum health and what you should be doing to do that. How can they get a hold of you?
Thank you, Dave. They can get a hold of me by going to my blog, which is theessentialoilwell.blogspot.com. my website, familyessentialshop.com, or call me. Please, I'm encouraging people to call me at 720-630-3111, because this is one of the restrictions the FDA is now not allowing me to advertise smoothly. So I have to take calls, which I'm happy to do, but call me at 720-630-3111 and I can talk to you about essential oils, about getting yourself foundationally healthy, and nutrition, and all kinds of good things. So,
okay, Katie, don't get in trouble now, okay? I'm going to stop you right there.
Yeah.
I don't want you to get arrested before your segment. okay, but we're going to get into that. Anyway, I'm going to go back to John B. Wells, and as we went into this brief break, John was talking about the shootings at Charleston and how really no one is buying it. No one with any sense whatsoever. It's kind of a cross between 9/11 and Sandy Hook is what I've called it. So, John, let's go back to your observation here about this ninth grade dropout that's committing this racially motivated crime.
Yeah, he writes this huge manifesto, right? And he's not obsessed with KKK or the Aryan Nations or the neo-Nazis or any of that. No. He's obsessed with apartheid South Africa. What? Let me tell you what. I did a cigarette contract with those people for like 16 years in South Africa. Went down there many times. And I never saw any of those patches that he had on his jacket. And I was as I was looking at his Facebook page before they took it down, all his kids' friends are black. But that came later. Except for a couple. But before I went to the Facebook page, the picture that they had up on the I probably got it through Drudge, because that's a big aggregate site. You can get to anybody through that site practically. The patches on the guy's shirt were the ones that were the sharpest in the photo, suggesting to me, and they weren't wrinkled. They weren't. You know, when you put on a shirt, it's going to have some. The stripes are going to get bent a little bit. Let's put it that way, by just you standing in it, unless you're starched all over. Well. So he's wearing this khaki-looking jacket, but the patches, they're looking straight at that. The aspect of view is directly at you as if you were looking at them on a wall. And then, of course, the picture went away, and I don't think very many people ever saw it again. So, and then I checked this out with Wolfgang Halbig that we're working with on the Sandy Hook deal, which looks more like a farce every day, by the way. And he said, oh, yes, they were definitely running an active shooter drill that day, I believe is what he told me. It was either that day or the day before, but I think I want to say it was that day. And so it's like, isn't that odd that there's always a drill either right before or during one of these events? But here's the thing, Dave. People are still buying. Those people died. Those children died. It's like nobody died. It doesn't look like anybody died. You should have seen the first selectman, this woman that nothing gets done in Newtown, Connecticut, at the Sandy Hook School. Nothing gets past her. Nothing. And Halbig's lawyer asked her, well, when was that sign put up there? And she goes, well, 3 days before the incident. And she said, well, who put it up there? Oh, well, the Department of Homeland Security. And everybody in the room goes, now look, this may be a little bit tough to stick with for a second day, but one night I had Paul Rogers of Bad Company, Jack Cassidy of Jefferson Airplane, Leslie West from Mountain, and Ian Anderson from Jethro Tull, an hour each on Coast to Coast. Wouldn't you think that would have set the rock and roll world on fire and go, wow, man, who has ever interviewed guys of that high a level of musicianship on one program and giving them an hour each? I don't know if anybody's ever done
phenomenal.
That. Do you think that it got any attention? How about zero? So what I'm saying is, people will look at this guy going, I'm wounded and I'm in my wheelchair and I'm rolling, I'm being taken to a medic. And he comes down the street not once or twice. I'm going to Boston now, okay? And there he is with his shattered bones from his legs are gone and his bones are sticking out. And this guy's conscious sitting upright in a wheelchair and there's no blood coming out of him. And these dumbasses just keep buying it. And I'm getting a little fed up with the American public, and I don't mind telling you that right now on your program. It's like, did somebody drop you on your head when you were a baby? Did your parents allow you to suck on lead bars for pacifiers when you were a child? How can you believe this bloody nonsense? You cannot survive having your legs blown off and sit upright and being wheeled down the street without leaking any blood. That just doesn't happen. And then there's the part where the girl's going, she sounds like some cow stranded in a barbed wire fence. Literally. I'm not doing an anti-feminist commentary here. That's what it sounds like. And her boyfriend's going, make the fireworks stop. Just make them stop. Well, this little broad is selfieing herself with her smartphone. She is recording herself, whining, and he's going, make it stop. This is a complete fraud. Now, there may have been some people hurt at Boston, and I only say that not because I believe it, but because recently a woman came forward and she lost a leg. Everybody who's injured in the Boston deal, with the exception of the kid that was supposedly killed, except he shows up on a poster in Pakistan with a Pakistani name across the top. I mean, who photoshopped that? Was it the Pakistanis? or who was it? Round and round and round, and the American public just sits there like I don't know what, and just nods like, yeah, okay, well, if it's on the TV, then it must be true, and I want some more chicken fried steak. It's like, well, you already weigh 350 pounds. I know, but I like chicken fried steak, and I want some donuts, too. I like GMO. The TV says they're good for you. It's like, come on, people. But here's the other part, Dave. Not everybody's going to make it. I would like for everybody to make it, but they won't, because they won't believe what's in front of their eyes. So do I think it's bad? I think it has the potential to be very bad. Every day, some of your rights, there's an attempt. They're either taken away or there's an attempt made to take some of your rights away. All they want are your guns, complete control of your money, complete control of your child's philosophy, education, and indoctrination. That's all they want. Just everything you have that is precious to you. They want control of all of it. Oh, and I forgot. They also want to know where you are every moment of your life. And our esteemed president has now decided he's going to take it all the way down to the local level. What you like to read, what you like to eat, what dry cleaners you go to, what coffee shop you like, what you buy. Oh, you want a reward card? Okay, sign right up. I'm not sure that a reward card at the grocery store is all that sinister, but it could be twisted to that purpose.
Conversations I've had with people on the other side of that say exactly that. And what they're doing is they're building, one, a threat matrix to determine who's going to be most dangerous to them when they roll everything out. And then, number two, they're doing predictive programming. Who are they going to have trouble controlling? You know, it's classic what Steve Quayle calls the red list, blue list. I mean, this is what they're building towards.
Well, and you have to wonder, why are they doing this? Now, if you want to get a little bit on the woo-woo side, Anthony Patch was talking about this Large Hadron Collider at CERN, and he's totally dropped off the scope. He called us once and said, no, everything's all right, everything's fine. Well, haven't heard from him since, and he hasn't made any more appearances, and we went ahead and thought, well, we're going to go ahead and put this up on YouTube for everybody to see, because at this point, his best protection would be visibility. Because they don't take everybody out that opposes them, but they take a few of them out just to send a message to the rest of them. I mean, that's how they do things. But when you consider that that every attempt is being made to separate you from your ability to defend yourself, and when the cops show up, when you call the cops now, not all the time, but enough incidents are reported as going bad for the person who made the call, that it kind of makes you not want to call them at all. And if you don't call them and they just show up, there's no telling what direction the lead's going to start flying, because the cops are having to deal with things that we don't have to deal with every day. They deal with the worst of society. So, cops are human beings too. Do we think that maybe they might be affected by the propaganda as well? Do we think that there are people, and I sang out about this on YouTube too, that are saying, look, the government wants to divide the police from the people. It's like, yeah, you know, there's some people out there in media that are doing a pretty good job of dividing them too. And if you can't bring people together, then you need to shut up, particularly when it comes to people who have guns and people who have guns but do not have the license to use them against those who have badges and uniforms and the force of the law behind them. You know, do you really want to be responsible for jacking somebody up to the point where they start doing something stupid and shooting at cops or something? That's just crazy.
In terms of getting the guns, you're so on the money. I'm sure you've seen this, that if you're elderly, over 65, receive Social Security benefits, but you allow someone to manage your bank account, that the government is saying now, or Obama will say through executive order soon, that you can't own a gun. And that's 4.8 million seniors. And it's not just the seniors, because when they pass on, where do their guns go? To their descendants. So it's a quick way to get 5 million guns off the street. And you know this probably better than anybody. 19 genocides in the 20th century, and every one of them was preceded by gun confiscation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, they keep using that expression. I'm glad you used it. Getting the guns off the streets. Here's the thing. The guns aren't on the streets. The guns are in people's homes. The guns are in people's cars, and the guns are on people's persons. The only guns that are on the streets are the AK-47s that somebody sold, all those ISIS people. And it makes me wonder. See, here's the thing, Dave. My short term might be a little fuzzy sometimes because I've got a pretty high input level of data. But I have a pretty long memory for other things. For example, do you remember the 600,000 AK-47 magazines that were purchased a couple of years ago, by the DOD for atypical combat situations?
Yes.
Now, why would our government buy 600,000 AK-47 magazines? And these were for 47s, not for the AK-74, which, by the way, folks, that's 545 by 39, and the AK-47 is 762 by 39. It's like a 308 short, okay? And the AK-74 runs around similar to what we run in our M16s and AR-15s. It's a smaller round, lower power in some ways. So, why now? It would have been even weirder if they bought 600,000 AK-74 magazines. That would have suggested that there really are lots and lots of Russian troops on American soil. But as they are AK-47 rounds, those are cartel guns. Those are terrorist guns. That is the round that is most commonly encountered in the Middle East. I wonder if ISIS got any of those magazines. There have only been two airdrops of arms and munitions and food and medical supplies. Two drops that were intended for, I believe it was the Kurds. And somehow or another, they landed right in front of the tent that all the ISIS guys were hanging out in. Not once, but twice. So another question is, how does a report like that even get out?
You know what I mean? It usually doesn't. Have you had a chance yet to interview Scott Bennett?
Oh, yeah, several times.
Okay, so then you know where this is going. I'm sure he said this on your show like he did mine, the two times I've interviewed him. He said he named names of people who are managing Swiss bank accounts in which the CIA is using to fund ISIS.
Yeah,
I think you're much more
really
clear than that, John.
And you think, oh, our guys are, I mean, if you picture a CIA guy, what do you think he looks like? You know what I mean? Well, they don't all look like what you think they're going to look like. And I was told you don't get to meet very many CIA guys, ex-CIA guys. But you do every once in a while. And one of them said that the Islamics have penetrated every level of the security services. And they have private email boxes. They communicate with each other all the time. And nobody knows outside their little network. Well, turns out that it was true because I think I want to say about 8 or 9 months ago, there was an article that, yes, Islamists have infiltrated every level of government. Of course, it dropped off the scope immediately. Mainstream media said nothing. So therefore, the vast majority of Americans, can you imagine what the effect would be about, and others, in this quest to turn things around. Can you imagine what would happen if they broadcast this kind of material for just a week? I want to give you a heads up on something, Dave. I'm not sure if it's on anymore. I'll check it out here in a little while. But there is one show that has been on NBC of all things, and it came on right after AD. It's called American Odyssey, about this woman that she's a soldier, and her whole unit gets wiped out, and she's supposed to get wiped out too, but she doesn't, and it's her odyssey to get through the Middle East and back eventually to a reporter. Who can tell the world she's alive, and this whole thing is a setup and a backroom deal, and it's bad. It's moita. It's arson. It's bad. Well, the last episode of AD was not aired. Instead, they put on a I can do this like basketball thing or something stupid, which, in several people's opinion that I've talked to about this, with whom I have talked about this, said, well, that was done to do one thing, and that is to throw people off so that they wouldn't catch American Odyssey. That's what that was about. And I'm thinking, they would do something like that. I have a glimpse into the mentality of that apparatus. I was in it for 25 years on the periphery and in a perfect position to observe everything as a voiceover guy for one of the biggest stations in the country. So if you want to find out what's really going on with this whole Middle East deal, if you can find American Odyssey, look at it, and you're looking at a very accurate depiction of what this government does to its soldiers, its operatives, its CIA peoples, the double dealing, the inside deals, the official story versus what really happened, and it'll just make you sick. But again, David, how many people really want to know this? I would like to think a lot of people want to know it, but I'm not sure. But going back to what you said, we don't even need as much as 10% to change this. Oh, everybody else will go, well, what are they doing, and why are they doing this? What benefit is this to us? And you know what? They may never know. They may never know that they didn't just dodge a bullet. They dodged a cannonball. So is anybody going to get a big pat on the back if this thing is put off for a while, if the destruction of our country is put off for a while? I don't think so. Any awards? Any medals of valor or honor?
No,
or that?
Because
no, probably not.
You and I and Steve Quayle and Doug and Joe Hagman and on, we're at the forefront of trying to push this back. Our audiences are right there. They're at the tip of the spear. And what are we rewarded with, John? We're fear mongers. We're delusional. We need mental health treatment. So no, there will be no awards.
Well, you know, I told Wolfgang, I said, the next thing they're going to accuse you of is being a pedophile. And sure enough, within about 2 weeks, he called up, he left a message, he was upset, and he goes, they are trying everything they can to discredit me. They're calling me a pedophile, you know, and you could just tell by the way he said it, he was so upset. I mean, he's a grandfather. He spent his life as being a school safety officer and advisor and all of this. And, I mean, the last thing that Wolfgang Halbig is a pedophile. He'll just tell you, don't bother me on the weekends. I got grandkids, and I got family time. Because this whole thing with Sandy Hook has been rough on him. But he keeps going anyway, and the caravanners have been so generous. They have contributed literally thousands of dollars for attorneys, because those things are expensive. Attorneys are expensive. All this discovery and all these requests, and somebody's got to do it. And they dropped one on him just the other week, where it's like, nope, we're going to have a surprise FOIA meeting. And he got on a plane and went there immediately. And we called our crew, and the guy on the other end of the line said, I'm on my way to the airport right now. I'll sort out the ticket when I get there. And they were there with their cameras. So while you got Monty Frank up there saying that, well, you didn't try to get any help. Well, I hate to tell you this, Mr. Frank, but it's all over our videotape, which has been duplicated and sent to several dozen people, some of whom do not know each other. Most of whom do not know each other. And it's obvious, because Mr. Halbig seeking help at the police station is well documented on this video. And by the way, what happened to those timestamps on your dash cam video or your police car? Well, I don't know. You'd have to get a computer expert. What? I mean, it's one fake after another. So, in the end, what we we're going to have to do is just remain vigilant, be prepared to stick it out for 2-3 months if it really gets bad. If you have to remain in place, figure out some way to hide. Remember that nobody needs to know anything about your stuff except you.
What's amazing to me
for what's to come.
It always surprises me, John, when I hear people talk about specifically what they've done to prepare. I'll do some general things just based on my knowledge from some of the advertisers I have, and that's their business. But the reality is, when you tell people, hey, I got a year's worth supply of food, you just put a bullseye on your back.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Nobody needs to know about your stuff except you.
Exactly.
You know, you just don't advertise. I don't recommend putting NRA stickers on your bumper. I don't recommend putting Dixie flags on your bumper. Just stay low. Stay low for a while.
Just
don't advertise your attitude.
Exactly. I was going to say, the time to be a political martyr is over. Unfortunately for people like you and I mean, we've kind of cast our die, and it is going to be what it's going to be. But with regard to the average person, yeah, you can continue to work, but don't fall on your sword. I mean, right now, this is about survival mode. And I have gone more away from the advocacy role that I started this show off on, and I still do that. But I've gone more towards helping people adapt. Because what we've done here so far, John, in the hour and 52 minutes that we've been together, is we have talked about a plethora of ways, plethora of threats that could come and bring down not just this nation, but most of the people in this nation. And people need to get busy and prepare. So I won't ask you, John, what you're going to do, because I know you won't tell me. But I'm going to tell you this. I told this to one of my neighbors the other day. He said, how much time do you think we have? I need to get this. I need to get that. I need to get that. I said, you should have had it yesterday.
Yeah.
And I looked at him, and his birthday is next week. I said, you don't have it done by your birthday. You're playing with your life and the life of your family.
Well, yeah, that's true. But I'll tell you this, David, and I really mean it. I mean, I hope I haven't been just all over the place. I mean, when I was talking about that Large Hadron Collider and Anthony a minute ago, it's only because this man has me convinced. I mean, he should be a multi-zillionaire writing screenplays if he can make this up. He's not making it up. These people really are working on a portal to open to let in what we would call demonic entities. NASA and the Vatican have a joint project on Mount Graham in your state of Arizona there called Lucifer, while the Pope goes around talking about basically redistributing the wealth to all the people around the world and unchecked immigration and global warming. He talks about baptizing aliens and all this other stuff. So here's the thing. The one thing that you better have, because none of the rest of what you have is going to help you unless you have this. It's the F word. It's faith. If you have any idea that there's no God, you're over with already. If you have any idea that the people who worship Satan and do these stupid rituals out at Bohemian Grove and other places and all that skull and bone stuff and lying in the coffin and doing all these degrading things, if you think those people don't believe in God, you're wrong. They do. They have consciously chosen not to serve Him. They reject Him. They do not like Him. They are of their father, the devil, as might be said in the Bible, maybe. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't have even thrown that in, because I really don't want to, I don't want to water down what I'm saying. The number one thing on the list is faith. And if you don't tell your Creator, whom you can communicate with in your mind through this thing called prayer, the woo-woos may call it meditation if they wish. In this case, it's prayer. You can communicate, and you need to tell Him, all of this stuff that I see belongs to you. This body I'm standing in belongs to you. I didn't plan any of this. I don't understand any of this, and I would be nothing but an arrogant and stupid person. All right, a fool to suggest that I have any power other than what has been granted to me. I belong to you. I want you to run my life. I want you to lay out the steps that I need to take. Because if I can't trust you, I can't trust anything, because I certainly don't trust these people around me, because the moment that something happens, they're liable to change character completely. But according to the scripture, you are the same today and will be tomorrow as you were yesterday, and I am all in. You get straight with God, and the rest of it will sort itself out for you. Because your guns and your MREs and all that stuff is not going to help you one bit without your faith. You won't make it 2 weeks.
I totally agree with you, John, and this is the bottom line denominator. And you did not stray, to back to your point. I've often said this on this show, that at the root of every issue that we're talking about, it's good versus evil. A lot of people make the mistake of thinking, oh, if we just cleaned up immigration, or if we just changed out from the Federal Reserve and Congress coins money, all our problems would be solved. Yeah, that would help, no question. But our lifestyle's under attack because it's the world of Satan and Satan's followers versus the would-be or actual followers of God. And to me, John, this is what it comes down to. It's a spiritual warfare at its base root.
You know, David, I agree with you completely. And as our friend Steve says, there is no political solution to a spiritual problem. So I like to reference movies a lot because people see a lot of them. I pick and choose what I think they may find to be a value in clarifying a point I'm trying to make. Remember the Hobbit series that Jackson directed? And you see these swarms of orcs coming down, and you see a little bit of infighting among the good guys, but these powers of evil, they want to do only one thing, and that's to destroy everything and turn the whole thing into a big cesspool. Well, that's kind of what we're looking at now. There are secret space programs. There are. Here we go. Wells is crazy. No.
No, you're right. We've covered it here. You're absolutely right. John, we're just about out of time. So I wanted to give you a chance again to give out your website, talk about your subscription service, and we got to do that in about 20 seconds.
Okay, you got it. Just come, if you'd like to, I'd be delighted if you visited us at caravantomidnight.com. Just the words, caravantomidnight.com, and check out some YouTube videos. You can find it real easy. Just put in my name with the middle initial, or just put in Caravan to Midnight channel. You'll go right to it and sample a bunch of stuff, and we'd love it if you would join us, because the ones who are members are all the way in, and that's how we are, all the way in or all the way out, and we're all the way in.
I'm proud to know you, John. It's always a pleasure to have you on. I look forward to the next time we speak. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, David. It was a pleasure.
Pleasure is all ours. We'll be back in hour number three with Katie Whalen, as you heard, and also Dr. Ted Brower with some really important breaking news. Stay tuned. We'll see you in hour number three.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard? Body. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste. And even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.